If you can get onto the internet, please go to our website, www.shofaronline.org, and find our sermons. It's all on there. And please listen to the Word of God that has been shared through Tians, and Brendan also came and shared the one night, and so that you can catch up. And God is always moving, but He's taking us step for step for step, and it's sometimes a little difficult if you have to do a leap jump. Are you with me? So I'm asking that you catch up, because this whole sermon series that we're about to go into tonight, and if we can flash the sermon series, my first slide, is going to be on authority, and you need to know that you need to be able to take authority after us talking about all the fear. On Tien's second sermon, he showed an incredible clip of Buster Douglas, and Buster Douglas is the guy that knocked out Goliath, being Mike Tyson. And it's a motivational clip on the why. And so if you don't know what your why is, you're not going to walk in authority. Most assuredly, I'm going to give you that little heads up. So if you're already, then the second sermon on fear of the series, Buster Douglas, the why. Why do we do this? Why do we go through this? Why are we Christians? Why are we called to the world? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Lots of whys, and many of us have. And so I'm coming from the idea that we're all on the same page. I'm coming from the page that follows the previous pages. Okay, so if you're reading a novel, you sort of read one page, one page, one page, I hope. I know sometimes books get a bit boring and we like to skip a chapter, but please go back and catch up with what God's been sharing with us and dealing with us, because He's taking us somewhere. Amen? Serious? Do you know why we tell people to say amen? Okay? It's not a rah, rah, rah. Okay? So this isn't high school anymore, guys. We don't have to go, yes, team. We say amen, meaning yes, it is. It's us saying, thus saith the Lord, it is. So when you say amen, it's an authoritative thing you do. Let's take authority. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That's how we say amen. Thank you, Jock. Hallelujah. Jock, I've always loved you. I will always love you. You're my favorite person, dude. Seriously. Jock invited us the other night to supper. If you want to be blessed, go have dinner at the Russes. Incredibly blessed. Wow. Really, really amazing family of God. Right. I'm totally sidetracked. We're going to be speaking for 3 weeks on one scripture. And we're going to be doing what I normally do, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We're going to hit the scripture from every possible angle that I can come from. And then hopefully something's going to drop in our spirits. And so it's great that you're here tonight. I feel sorry for the two-thirds that's not here, because they're going to have to do catch-up, because we're going to be carrying on from this sermon. And can we go to the next slide? Tonight, we're going to be focusing on one part of this, and let's just read the scripture. No, one back. It's the same slide, it's just a bit different. We're going to be working from 2 Timothy 1:7, a very famous and well-known scripture. Paul writing to Timothy, "We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind." And so tonight, we're going to be talking about the power. So what I've done is, I bring this in the line of, because everyone is in this church, if you don't know, there's an anointing to be an athlete in this church. So if you're not an athlete, by the time you leave Shofar, you'll be an athlete. Okay? I've seen it happen. Seriously. It's incredible. And not only will you be an athlete, but you'll finish the comrades. I don't know how this works, but there's an anointing for the comrades. Lord, not comrades for me, but comrades for the rest of you. And if you're not going to do the comrades, you will finish the Ironman. It's incredible to step into this anointing and receive it. It's amazing. And so because our people, we really enjoy our sport, I'm going to bring this in the same sort of way as a triathlon works. A triathlon works, it's a three, can we go to the next slide? It's three disciplines. There's three legs to a triathlon. And the first leg is the swimming, and the second leg is the cycling, and the last leg is the running. And so, like that swim, The swimming is a very powerful thing. You've got to use your entire body. We're going to be doing the swimming tonight. And we're going to be talking about the part of the power. And then next week, we're going to go into the love. And then the third week, we're going to go into the sound mind. So if you're only going to be here tonight, you're only going to get the first part. You're not going to get the full truth. So I ask that you listen to the full next three sermons, even if you're not able to be here, get it online, that we can step in. Because God's really doing something, and we need to start seeing what he's doing, because there's an authority he wants us to walk in. That's why we've been talking on fear so much the last while. Amen? Amen. Great. It was almost better than the first one. You see, I really have a heart for the prophetic. I really love the prophetic. And with the prophetic comes a lot of great things and a lot of rubbish too sometimes. And I think that's probably what I enjoy the most about the prophetic, because between all the chaos sometimes, you really got to go and see what is from God and what isn't. And so to prove my propheticness, as everyone these days are doing Ironman, I already did a triathlon, my first triathlon in standard 6. All right. So those days are gone. I've already stepped past that. I've let go of all the Ironman and stuff. I let go of my idols. And now I'm seeking Jesus. So after all of you have done those great comrades and all those great triathlons, then you'll probably start seeking Jesus. So it's a long road still, only jokes. But what I enjoyed about triathlon at school was that we were able to train together. So we used to train 3 hours a day. An hour before school, we'd go cycle. An hour after school, we'd go swim. And an hour after that, we'd go run. And all the cyclists would cycle together in the morning. So anyone that was a cyclist, we used to have this massive cycling group that would go out and we'd cycle together. And then other those that would be swimmers would swim together. So we used to swim with all the hardcore swimmers. And we'd train together. And then the runners, we would run together. And my favorite was, believe it or not, was actually between the swimming and the running. And really had this one mate. And we used to run and run and run. Frankie and I, we just ran the whole of Stellenbosch. Every part of Stellenbosch we ran. We loved it. It's what we did. And what was great was we did it in a team. But when it comes race day in a triathlon, you're on your own. There's no one that's jogging next to you. There's no one encouraging you after you've done your 30th lap in the pool and go, come on, we can do the last 10 laps. It's you and the road. And that represents so much for me, the Christian road that we walk. Because on Sundays, we're all together, and it's easy to raise our hands, and it's easy to worship God, and it's easy to stand in faith. Easier. And on Wednesdays in small group, when we're speaking about that awesome new curriculum that we're going to go through, by the way, we're starting opening tomorrow morning. You can start writing in. We'll be emailing you this week. And there's also at the info at the back, the 8-week series of what the different Bibles we're going to be working through. Please have a look. But it's easy doing it in a group. The challenge for us is when? Monday morning. It's a challenge on Monday morning when we wake up and we realize this is it. And all the training we did in the group was great, but now it's me and the road. My first full triathlon was the worst experience I've ever had in my life because it was in Blouberg. And I think they call it Blouberg because of the wind. And I didn't know that you can cycle all the way there with the wind straight from the front, and all the way back again with the wind from straight from the front. Did you know that that works in Blouberg? I know, that was my experience. I was crying, eh? I was crying through, I think I was in standard 8. And I'll never forget, I was cycling at an angle like this, and the tears were just flowing out. And I said, Lord, there's no ways I can finish this. I'd hit those blocks, eh? I tell you, I hit, what do they call it, the wall. And I had nothing left in me. I was like, any human being that does this is stupid. That was my experience. It's a stupidity. Why would any man do this to himself? After that, I did probably another 100 more. Loved it. But it's when you're in the thick of things, that's when it gets hard. That's when it gets real. And that's what I'd like to speak about tonight. With that introduction, let's go to the first scripture that we're going to be speaking about together from Matthew 16. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the next slide we see later on in Matthew, Christ again saying, and we're going to read the NLT, the one at the bottom. I really love this. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Is that not awesome? And whatever you permit on earth, where am I now? Will be permitted in heaven. An incredible authority, a credible key that God gives us. You know, whenever we say the scripture, do you know that you have the ability to loosen? Let me just get my slide here. You have the ability to loosen God's favor on someone's life. You have the ability to loosen the favor of God in your own life. You have the ability to loosen God's blessing, His anointing, His provision on people's lives. Do you realize you have that ability? My wife realizes it. The rest of us will realize it by the end of tonight. And then the other one is bind. Now, what do we normally bind? The devil, right? We like to bind the devil, don't we? Devil, I bind you. But here's another way of looking at binding. Listen to this. You can bind someone to their calling. You can bind someone to their anointing. You can bind them to their freedom. You can bind them to your salvation. You can bind them to the things of earth, at least to the things of God, which is in heaven. Because the devil ain't hanging around in heaven all day. Are you with me? And what we bind in heaven is bound. Not only can we bind the demonic things, we can bind people to the godly plan on their lives. That is the authority that we have. That's great preaching. Wow, you're not saying, I don't know if anyone's getting this tonight. John Bevere always says, I'm preaching myself happy. I get that. I am preaching myself happy. Can we go to the next slide? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, everyone, how much? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now go. And he sends out the disciples. All authority. Listen, I know for some of you it feels like Jesus has some authority, but he has all authority. He took it all. There is no space in heaven, on earth, that he doesn't have authority. None. And that should start boggling you, because when you start thinking of where you're not seeing authority, there's a problem. We are not walking in the fullness of God in authority yet as the bride of Jesus Christ. There's a deeper place that we can walk into authority. We're going to get a little bit back to that. Can we move on to the next slide? Christ speaking to his disciples, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the enemy. How many? All the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Hold on. Nothing. How much? Nothing will harm you. Most testimonies of Christians these days, including myself, is, oh, the devil. He's just taken me out. Isn't that so? Oh, the devil, he got me this time. Christ says, nothing, nothing, nothing will harm you. Maybe what we should do one day is we should get a tank in here and just put a bunch of scorpions in it and we'll just go marching through it. How's that sound? I don't know. I'm not excited about that neither. But Christ has given us authority, all right, to overcome the powers of the enemy. In other words, if you and the devil have a one-on-one confrontation, guess who should work out the winner? Do you need help? Because no one's guessing. Okay? Rhetorical question. One Peter 4. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, let's break this scripture up. So I'm not like Tien, so I can't take an entire book and break it up. I have to take it verse for verse for verse. All right, I'm a bit slower than Tien. I really am. He's working on his doctorate, and every time he gives this little smirk, as it's like page upon page upon page, and I'm going like, oh, I'm undone, dude. Sorry, I'm still struggling with 1 Peter 4, verse 10. All right. As each one, Christ speaking, at least the letter writing to each one, as in all the believers, as each one, meaning everyone, as everyone has received a gift, what do we need to do with it? What did the guy do with the talent? Remember the story about the talents? He takes it and he puts it on the handkerchief and he hides it on his bed. Didn't minister it. The other guys, they ministered, they multiplied it, ministered. In other words, don't sit on it. So many of us sit with gifts and we sit on our gifts. That's all we do with it. Okay? As good? What does that mean? That means it's not yours. Parable about the talents. It's not yours. You can use it for yourself, for sure. You can use it to further yourself, for sure, but it's not yours. That we call bad stewardship. The gift of God's life, the gift on your life is placed there by God, therefore it is not yours. Now I hear that question, what gift is this? What does gift mean? Thanks for that question. You're amazing. Next slide. I did check with Tiens, with my Greek. And I'm only using two Greek words, okay? So the word gift here is where the word where we get charisma, not the charisma magazine, charisma, which is a divine endowment of grace. God's imparted ability according to Thousand Strong's dictionary. We see this in Daniel's life. Okay? So they wrote tests. I don't know how they did this, but they said that Daniel was, I think, 10 times wiser than anyone else. Okay? Apparently the rest flunked the math test, but Daniel aced it. He had a ministering gift that was the endowment of God that gave him ability beyond. That is authority. That is the authority that God gave you. Now, let me prove to you, all right? So Christ says, John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets, right? Daniel being a prophet. Therefore, John was greater. Now, Scripture says, Christ says that the least of us, the least, the very least, the guy that comes in last, okay? I never came in last at a triathlon. It sometimes did feel like it. But if you came in stone last, you are still greater than John the Baptist. Therefore, how much greater are you not than Daniel in the spirit that Daniel had in your workplace? I can't repeat that. That was long and hard. Okay? But are you with me? You have the ability in your workplace. You know that most of us say, "Ooh, this thing's not working out. My boss doesn't like me. I'm out of here. I need to find a new job." Shall we move on to the next scripture? Romans 5. All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with Him will what? Where? Is that when you die and you go to heaven? Okay, some of you look at me, I'm not sure. Okay, let me help you. In life means in this life. We are called to rule and to reign this side of eternity. Now, most of us are waiting to rule and reign that side of eternity. And we will rule and reign, but there's in that side of eternity. But we are called to rule and reign this side of eternity. We are called to be the light in a very, very dark world. We are called to be the light in a very dark world. I have a match here. If I had to strike this match now, it wouldn't leave much light, would it? Quite a bit of light in here. But if we had to chop off all the lights and then I had to strike this match, there sure would be a lot more light that this match gives, right? And Isaiah, Rian, see if you can find it. It's way towards the bottom. There's a scripture in Isaiah. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Isaiah already prophesying over our generation and our nation, saying that we are the light. And the problem is, so many of us go to work and there's barely any light. There is barely a flicker of light. Why? Great question. I've heard, and I can't confirm this, but when we think of Timothy, right, we think this young little guy, church of maybe 40 people. So now you see Timothy, that's how most of us look at Timothy. He's this timid little boy, nice guy. Timothy was the leader of the church of Ephesus. And if I've got my research right and I've tried to look and just to double check, and I'm going to say once again, I can't confirm this 100%, but I believe that the church, some theologians say that the church was 100,000 strong. And Timothy was leading the church. That will give us a bit of a different perspective of little Tim. Okay? We're talking about, what's that guy in Asia with the massive church? Was it Yonki Chao? Anyway, there's a few of them. Asians do big churches. We're talking about a massive church. We're talking about a massive movement of God. So Timothy is written two letters about Paul. So first of all, Paul only boasts about one guy that I know of in Scripture, and that's Timothy. And in Philemon, he just carries on how incredible the character of Timothy is. And due to the fact of time, I can't carry on. Imagine your name is written in Scripture for all eternity. What an incredible character you have. Wouldn't that be amazing? For all eternity, your name says how awesome you are in Scripture. That would have been awesome. Lord, that would have been nice. That's not me, though. Timothy had an incredible character. But Timothy lacked in the area. See, Paul has to write to him twice. Guy leading a very big church. Okay, not little Tim. Not Timothy. All right. Do not neglect your gift. Your what? Charisma. Which was given you, etc., etc., etc. Do not neglect the gift. And apparently Timothy was struggling with this because we read in 2 Timothy, which is the second letter. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the Spirit of God, which was laid upon you. And the New King James Version says it beautifully, I remind you to stir up the gift of God in your life. See, here's the thing. All of us, remember, each one of us have gifts, but many of us, those gifts have grown dormant in our lives. It's still there, but it's dormant. And we have to stir it up. Listen, if it says stir it up, is that God's responsibility or our responsibility? It's our responsibility to stir up the gift inside of us. Okay? So you can stare and sit and stare at your workplace all day long and say, Lord, do something. That's not stirring it up. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Very little. Mighty quiet. The gift of God does not work automatically. I know these days your car is working automatically. I know everything these days works automatically. This does not work automatically. This is not Wi-Fi. You don't arrive and it works. Put on the cell phone and it works. Well, in a sense, it does work that way. Oh, okay, I'm going to confuse myself. But it doesn't work automatically. You have to stir it up. You have to put it on. You have to exercise it. You have to grow in it. You've got to continually seek, ask, knock. Seek, ask, knock. An interesting thing is that many people that struggle to get pregnant, those that have waited 4 years, 5 years, that really had to stand on faith for God, seem to have a bigger love for their children than those that could fall immediately pregnant from the word go. Why is that? Because they asked, they seeked, they knocked. That breakthrough that you got in your life, that time when you had to really get on your knees and really seek God, that's the one that's worth the most to you. The breakthrough when you arrive, Lord, I need a miracle. Oh, there comes a miracle. Oh, thank you. Amen. Who prays for parking in Cape Town? Have any of you fasted and thanked the Lord for the parking that he gave you? No. Lord, thank you for parking. Oh, never mind, Lord, here's one. It's the ones that we have to seek. And we have to stand for that breakthrough. And we fast. And we seek. And we knock. Those are the ones that have more value. Stir it up. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God. So let's get to the main scripture. We have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as I said, I'll be working next week more about the love and the final week, what is a sound mind? How does it look? But we need to start by looking at the word fear. And I know we've done a lot on fear, but if you'll just grant me a few minutes. Yeah, show that one. Really cool. Chick triathlete. The word fear there, can we go to the next slide? The word fear is delay. Pardon my Greek, a bit rusty. And it's the only time that it's used in the, it's the only Greek time that Greek word is used in the New Testament. And the better translation, or the actual translation, is cowardice and timidity, according to Vines. So in that, let's read scripture again. Let's move on to the next slide. And so I found these two translations that translate this scripture the best for me. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and self-control. Timidity, what does that mean? It speaks about intimidation. Intimidation. You see, the Lord's not given us a spirit that is a spirit of cowardice. He's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. These three virtues give us boldness. Here's this this kid we read about in the Old Testament. His name's David. Dave. And Dave is coming to visit his butties, his brothers. And Dave is Ningli, the smallest of all the brothers, the youngest of all the brothers. And he arrives and he goes, guys, what's going on? And they say, listen, we see your heart, brother. You're off like jam. Okay? He says, but what's this Goliath? Who's this Goliath oak? Like, what's going on here? Let's sort this out. And as I say, the brothers say, no, we see your heart. You, there's something wrong with you. And he goes, but is there not a cause? Is that the most arrogant thing you've ever heard in your life? You are sitting in front of your computer, and you're looking at this audit, and nothing adds up. And your little Johnny that's just stepped into the company, the clergy, or whatever you call him, he's doing his articles, and here he goes to you. Seriously, what's the problem? Let's sort this out. Eh? A little arrogant little kid, so it would seem. And then, if that's not bad enough, then he goes to the king. Okay? So he goes to the CEO of the company and say, listen, this audit thing, what's going on here? Come on. Let's sort this out. Better terms. Where's this Jacob Zuma dude? I need to talk to him because there's some things I need to sort out in this country. Get rid of this Goliath thing. Come on now. Okay? And if that's not bad enough, this child, still has the arrogance to go up to Goliath and say, listen, you uncircumcised Nephilim. Nephilim is what he was. It was a very big demon, half man kind of thing. They were called Nephilim. And he says, today, the birds will eat your carcass. That sounds very arrogant. But it's not. It's absolute boldness because David knew the power of the living God. He knew the authority on his life, and he went there in the authority of God. Not an ounce of arrogance. Because when you're standing in front of Goliath, that's when the pawpaw hits the fan. Authority. And so this month will be the month of authority. And can I ask, if you don't walk in authority, you're realizing God's speaking to you, the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, going, I don't get this authority thing. Can I invite you to come and join us at Freedom Weekend? Please. I'm going to introduce you to three people that really walk in authority in their workplace. And I've come to have them explain what they do and come and give their testimonies so we can hear how we do this, how we activate this. So I really want to encourage you to come and hear how you do it, because I keep on hearing from everyone asking me, how am I supposed to do this? And I'm not in the corporate place. I can't tell you because you're going to think I'm a hypocrite. I can tell you the principles, and I'm going to tell you examples next week in spiritual places, you know, when something goes funky or a bit wrong or you're having a weird situation. You don't have to call the Ghostbusters. You can call Jesus, and I'll teach you that. But I want you to get experience from working people that live out their testimony in the workplace, that have authority at work. And all we have to do is listen to you go, yes, Lord, I want that. So book that. Send us an email. Come, join. Boldness. Next one. Volgende Nikki. There we go. Listen to this. Listen carefully. The object of intimidation is to restrain you from action and coerce or force you into submission. What spirit do you submit under? Intimidated believers relinquish their authority in the spirit by default. Though the gift is present in their lives, though the gift is present, it lies inactive and does not operate. And here's the hardball. If the spirit of intimidation is ministering in your life, you will not be able to hear God's voice. If you're struggling to hear God's voice, it's highly likely that you're struggling with intimidation. So where do we get intimidated? We get intimidated in the workplace, pressure of our colleagues, our boss, the deadlines, friends, spouses, family, children, fear of man. What are people going to think? What are people going to say? You see, we throw bookies. You know the when you drive down the main road on the N1 and N2, when these bookies, this buck, they stop in the middle of the road and they see these lights and they just freeze up. I believe many of us are like that. Bookie in the headlights. We freeze up. That intimidation speaks to us. It ministers. And maybe next week I'll have more time to go through a few examples in Scripture where people submit under intimidation, the spirit of intimidation, and how it ministers and how it looks. That pride, that self-centeredness starts ministering and we go, what are people going to say? What are people going to think? I have to be politically correct. I have to be politically correct. I must just make sure I'm politically correct. And everything I say, was that right? Fear-based. Works-based. So many of us don't feel worthy of God, and that's the reason why we aren't activating the authority. We go to God and say, Lord, if you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H and I, I'll do Z for you, maybe. We're waiting for God to come and do a miracle in our lives that we are absolutely short of Christ himself, perfectly sorted, and then we're going to go do the work of the saints. You are not worthy, you never will be, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all the worth that you'll ever need. It's all the worth. It is worth everything. So therefore, you are worthy. 100% so. You are worthy. Not by your deeds. Not if you brush your teeth or not. You are worthy. You can just go and do. In the peace and the rest of God. So many of us pray like this. Dear Lord, please, please Lord help me. Please Lord help me. Please Lord help me. Go bungee jump. People pray like that when they go down there. Ah. Who are you talking to, dude? There's a book written by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin is a prophet. He went on to be with the Lord a while back already. And he wrote a book called I Believe in Visions. And Kenneth was a real prophet in America and did amazing things. And he writes about 9 of the 11 visions that he had of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to him 11 times. And he writes of 9 of them. And what Christ would show and tell him. And in one of these visions, he tells a story how Christ comes and he opens up the Word of God. He opens up the Bible and he starts reading from the Word. He's reading from the Word and Kenneth is just listening. And as the Lord is reading the Word, a green demon manifests himself between Jesus and himself. and he's sitting there, or he's standing there, and immediately Christ goes on mute. So Christ is still speaking. He can see Jesus is still speaking, but he can't hear now. So he starts shouting out, "Jesus, please help. Jesus, yes, this demon. Lord, Lord." And the Lord doesn't hear him, doesn't look at him, nothing, just carries on. He says, "Lord, help, help, Lord. There's a demon here. I can't hear you. Please stop, Lord. I want to hear what you're saying." And inside of him in this vision, the Holy Spirit starts bubbling up inside of him and says to him, "I've given you authority. I've given you the authority. All authority has been given to Christ. He gives us that authority. Now go." Most of our prayers are unanswered because we're doing it in works. We're doing it in flesh. We're praying in the flesh. Or we're praying in panic. We're praying a beggar's prayer. And often the Lord can't answer our prayer because we are outside of the position He's called us to be. The best way to explain it is to be an ambassador. There's a movie called The Last Samurai where it's well depicted, where the Emperor of Japan is bringing in things of the West, and so he's doing deals with the French, he's doing deals with the British, and the Americans at that time, they had the most awesome guns and cannons and stuff. And the ambassador comes and he speaks on behalf of the nation of America. And he says, "Emperor, it's very nice to meet you. We'd like to have this arms deal with you. Here's the proposal." And he comes with authority of an entire nation behind him. That's what an ambassador is. So ambassador doesn't speak on behalf of himself. He's speaking on behalf of the president of the nation. Are you with me with ambassador? Does everyone understand ambassador? We educated people, so we should understand that. That is the authority that Christ gives you. You are the ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And when that ambassador makes that arms deal, he has all the authority to do it. All the authority to make that deal. So he doesn't have to sit there and start going, please, America, please, can we do this deal? Please, can we make this happen? He knows that he can speak on behalf of a nation. That is the authority that is in your life. And I'll be giving a few testimonies of places, as I said, where God has shown me that. And I had to work through intimidation most of my life. As most of us do, I had to work through intimidation. The Lord threw me in deep pools where I was always the one that shouldn't be there. You ever feel like you don't fit in? I asked this morning and everyone in the air, okay? I have a lot of people over the years that come to me and say, "I don't feel like I fit into Shofar." And I look at them and I go, "Neither do I." Who does fit in? Come on. Serious. If you fitted in, it'd be your twin brother or your twin sister, the person's exactly like you, and we don't need a person exactly like you. We want you. Each one has a gift to minister. We need your gift. Maybe your gift is business. Maybe your gift is knitting. Maybe your gift is mercy ministry. You laugh, knitting. You can mercy ministry. You can knit a scarf. It's cold. Each one. But the Lord threw me into many situations where the spirit of intimidation would come against me with everything it had. If you want to ask my wife and myself what kind of weekend we've had, let me tell you. We've had to face the Spirit all weekend. Because the devil's not going to give you the ground. I'm sorry to say, you're not going to arrive to work tomorrow and your boss that's been hating you for I don't know how long is going to start high-fiving you. God put me in a place where I worked for, how many years was I at that place? Around 4 years, 5 years? I can't remember. And the guy, my boss, would once a week, no, he started every day chirping shofar. Every day. He would have something to say about my church. Yeah, that's a shofar thing. Yeah, that's a shofar thing. Yeah, that's a shofar thing. That's so shofar. Yes, it's a great day today. Yeah, shofar people would say that. And after the first year, it became once a week. I kid you not. Once a week. One day I just went to him. I said, dude, this is boring. Like, I'm seriously, please, it's boring. So he had a few issues with me. We had a love-hate relationship. But I kept standing in the authority of Jesus Christ of my life. I kept on ministering. I kept on being. Because I knew I wasn't there because of myself. You are not in the NGO world for yourself. You're not working with high school kids, trust me, for yourself. Later on, I ran a creche. You definitely don't do that for yourself. That was one of those moments where I was thinking, Bernie, you are stupid. Authority. When you start praying things into your workplace, when you start praying for your boss, when you start calling him and binding him to salvation, when you bind him back to church, when you bind him to healing, you loosen the favor on his life. You loosen the favor that his marriage will work. When everyone goes home, you're the last one to go home. You know why? Because you're going to grab your oil and you're going to anoint that whole place. Next morning, everyone's going to be slipping and sliding. It's like being on bananas. I plek is goed geolie. Sarah can maybe get away with it. She does furniture, just oil this furniture like it. It's people slide right off those chairs, girl. You know what I'm saying? There's a spirit that the Lord allows us to step in with authority that he wants to give us. But intimidation keeps us out of that place. Now, you can be intimidated by people. You can be intimidated by Wi-Fi. You can be intimidated by your computer. You can be intimidated by a lot of things. But in this month, can I ask if we go and be real before God, as we've been real with all this fear stuff? Can we just go and say, Lord, can you show me where I'm intimidated and where I picked up the spirit of intimidation? Show me the spirit, Lord. I want to understand the spirit. When you've been so many times up against a spirit, you recognize it from a mile off. I can recognize spirits from almost a day off. Neisner is one of those places. I'm speaking to Tins about Neisner as well. I have a hate for Neisner. There's no love hate for Neisner. Neisner for me is one of the darkest places on the face of the earth. And I've been to Varanasi. And if you don't know about Varanasi, go Google Varanasi. The whole of India goes to die in Varanasi. I nearly died there myself. But it is a dark place. And it is not as dark as Neisner. My experience of Neisner. Why was I talking about Neisner now? I totally lost myself. Thanks, Ryan. You're such a good brother. So we went on holiday, my wife and I, a while back to Neisner. and we drive in the car and I look at her and I say, listen, love, the Lord says Neisner's going to be rough. We're going to struggle. And so my wife is the most positive person in the face of the earth. And she says, no, it's not going to be that bad. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be lovely. We're going to have a great time. We're going to go rowing. And we're going to have this and that. And we went and booked ourselves 300 things that we're going to do. It's our holiday. We don't get much of it. We're going to go do 300 things. We booked 3 days in Neisner. We stepped one night in Neisner. The next day we went, thanks very much. Goodbye. It was rough. But I could discern those spirits 10 Ks out. A night before I could discern this thing's coming. With a spirit of intimidation, I see it coming. I see it when someone wants to come and intimidate me. I see it, that thing ministering that person. I see the person. I love the person, but I see that spirit that wants to take over them. And I realize, this is me in spirit time. I'm going to deal with the spirit now. I'm going to love the person, because I always love the person. But this is the spirit that's going to minister. And so we need to start recognizing the spirits that minister in our life, that we can stop it. We've got a group of intercessors. We intercede on Thursday mornings, and we have a WhatsApp group. And the guys this week just started saying, I'm really feeling the spirit of intimidation. I'm feeling worthlessness. And like one after the other start sharing, I'm feeling the same, I'm feeling the same, I'm feeling the same. Why? Because we're taking against the spirit. So the spirit ministers. And so I can tell my intercessor, isn't that awesome that you can see the spirit, recognize the spirit? It's not you. It's not just you. It's not just you. It's all of us. We're struggling here. This is a spirit. Let's take it on. And so this is a spirit that wants to keep you outside of the authority that God has for you, that you will not fulfill the great calling on your life. So you need to know why you're going to go up against the spirit. You need to know your why. You need to go do your Pastor Douglas. You need to know why. What is your name? Edward. Edward, the Lord says to you that you've got a gift of, it's not a gift of leadership only, but it's a gift that you can negotiate. That you will be able to negotiate very, very tough places because your heart is a heart to protect. And that you're going to listen to both sides of the argument and you're going to be able to protect both. Where most people want to protect one, the Lord's going to anoint you in your life that you'll protect both. Does that make sense to you? And that you're not ministering in the fullness of it now, but you will. And that He's going to lead you. And He's going to, I believe, you've even got the gift of tongues on your life and that you'll be able to interpret tongues. I don't know if this is moving your life yet and this even makes sense, but that's what the Lord's given you. And that's where you're going to, that's where you have a fight in you. Edward, that fight that goes, that fight is a different fight. And the Lord's going to show you how to fight the right fight in His way. That's a why for Edward. That's your why. It's for other people. You're going to protect people. And when you get that in your heart, Edward, it's going to change you mightily more so than it is. And the Lord's already working in your life. What is the why? And when you're like David and you get the why, the authority comes, the boldness comes, those virtues come. When your boss is going at you and you go, something's not right here. This is not normal. And you go, you're in a meeting and everything's going pear-shaped. And you go, excuse me, I need the bathroom for 2 minutes. And you go to the bathroom and you pray that the business be over. You take all authority over that meeting because something else is ministering you. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is something else. And the Lord shows you there's a deceptive spirit here. And you say, deceptive spirit, in the name of Jesus, you will not come into this meeting. See, we're Christians. We know when to get into a deal and we know when to get out of a deal because we're led by the Spirit of God. We know we can buy this property because this is a good investment because the Holy Spirit really leads us. The same spirit that Daniel had. There's an authority that you have that God's given you. Are we wielding the authority? Not only on a Sunday night, but on a Monday morning. When you're facing deadline after deadline after deadline. When it's like this all day long. And we're going to speak about that at Freedom Weekend. How do I dwell in the presence of God and in the workplace at the same time? Let's stand together. Can I call the band up? For those of you who are wondering, I've never met Edward before. Sorry, Edward, I'm using you as an example tonight. And that's called the spirit of prophecy, to be able to prophesy. So the Lord gives me a word of knowledge to show me something that is in his life. And if I prophesy, it's releasing God. It's taking that authority and releasing that authority on his life. And I bind you to that in the name of Jesus. You're going to work with very powerful people, my friend. Very powerful people. But you will not struggle with fear whatsoever. It's going to excite you. The ability to take authority in the situations that we find ourselves. Father, this evening we come and submit. And we repent of allowing intimidation and our pride and our self-centeredness and our shyness to minister and therefore to quench the Holy Spirit. This evening we come, Lord, and we say, Lord, no more will we receive the spirit of fear, the spirit of timidity, the spirit of a coward of hiding. We receive the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Lord, we thank you for the gifts upon our lives. We pray that we will minister in them, completely surrendered to you. We desire the character of God in our lives. We desire the power that is released through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We desire both. And we declare tonight that we are worthy. In the name of Jesus, we are made worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I speak that over each and every person here tonight. You are worthy in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for boldness in Jesus' name. Boldness when the chips are down. Boldness when people are making racist comments. Boldness when people are making inappropriate jokes. Boldness when someone's being harassed in the workplace. Boldness, Lord, to speak truth in love. We take up the authority that has been given to us on the cross. We take up the authority of Jesus Christ and we say yes and amen to that. And Lord, we'll start talking later about that self-control, that endearment to hold on. But for now, Lord, we ask, Lord, for the power in Jesus' name. We ask that we move in it. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will waken us up to see when it's a spirit ministering. I ask, Lord, that we will move in the gift of discernment of spirits. When we'll realize that this is a spirit that I'm up against. And I'm about to submit under this spirit, and this ain't the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask corporately that you'll take us into this place so that we can be a prophetic voice in this nation, a prophetic voice in this city. Because, Lord, with your prophetic voice to the city, there's some places where we're going to have major authority. And so, therefore, we ask, Lord, that we'll get it corporately, but that we will get it individually. We thank you for our training together. But we pray for race day, Lord, that we'll be ready. And when those nerves kick in, when we're at the starting line, when those nerves kick in, Lord, that we'll just go, yes, yes, I'm ready. That it will excite us. And when that gun goes off, Lord, that's the gun that releases us. Like a swimmer sitting on those blocks about to hit that water. The gun is the thing that releases us. It doesn't bring us fear. It doesn't make us onskrik nie in dit nie. It releases us. It excites us. And so, Lord, we say that we desire to move in authority. But I pray in Jesus' name that we'll not go into a beggar mentality, that we'll not go in the name of Jesus, that we'll not go in a place of our works, that it'll be in the peace and rest of God. Let's worship together.